Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Thank you that you teach us and reveal to us, you help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Amen. Remember what we saw last week if you were here with us. We were on our study series, a small one. Perhaps I'll finish it today, perhaps not, because on Thursday it will be another subject for Thanksgiving Day. But if I finish it today, well, praise the Lord. If not, we have other days. I was on the ancient path, if you remember. The first two sessions that we were seeing, which to me and to many people told me was very, very interesting, is in our website on our study series section. And it's only on audio, no video, just audio. So today we're going to see the ancient path of faith. So let's go to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and as for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. So as we saw what those old paths were, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So we saw what that ancient path is. We already saw many verses on it. I'm not going to touch on it anymore. You're going to be seeing the ancient path of faith. Go to Hebrews for a moment. I'm going to see how old is that faith. We need to go back to the ancient path, the body of Christ in general, and understand all these principles, which are true. And the devil attacks a lot because he will always attack what is genuine. So in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, verse 2, apologies. For by it, the faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel, we can see faith has been in existence for a long time. By faith Abel, in verse 5, by faith Enoch. In 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And I'll be touching on that in a bit. By verse 7, by faith Noah. 8, by faith Abraham. Amen. 11, by faith Sarah herself. And so on and so forth. And it starts speaking of that faith. So how old is this faith? We started where? With Abel. So faith is very important. God is a God of faith. Now we're going to touch again on a bit on faith. And I'm going to start by a process of elimination. I'm preparing a study series. A study series. My best study series, I say that of all, but on how faith truly works. And I actually started sending my multimedia team many notes about it, on how faith works. That's what changed my life in 2001 to now. And guess what? I'm making notes. Hallelujah. 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 And the reason is because I don't want to lose a single detail. Not a single detail. Glory to God. But that's what has changed my life to this day. But I'll tell you something on it in a bit. I'm going to speak again on faith. I'm going to start by what is known as process of elimination. You know what that is? Meaning that I'll explain what I'm not going to refer to very quickly. Have you heard, for example, when people say, "Oh, I'm of Catholic faith," others will say, "Oh, I'm of Jewish faith," others, "I'm of a Muslim faith," others, "I'm of so and so faith." So I'm not referring to that. That way of understanding faith in the world is simply a system of belief of a religion. For example, a system of belief of a religion. So I'm not referring to that. Have you also heard when people say, "Oh, it's because I have a lot of faith to Chevrolet," or I have a lot of faith to Ford"? I'm not referring to that either. I'm referring to the faith as a spiritual force and as a spiritual law. And actually, there are people, if you make a survey out there and ask people, the majority of people will tell you that they have faith in God. Did you know that? But it's not true. I know you offend people with that. But it's true. People don't have faith in God. They assume they have faith in God. But up until you understand how faith works, up until then, and what the what true faith is, then you can say, "I have faith in God." One thing is believing in God, and another is believing to God. To believe God. If you ask the average person, "Do you believe in God?" Oh, the grand majority will say, well yeah, I believe in God." Did you know that you don't impress God with that? We're going to see it now. James, chapter 2. What was that? You're going to tell me something? No? Are you going to tell me anything? Oh, I'm asking my wife, for those who are listening on radio or something. Who's he talking to? Well, my wife. Oh, it's because you put a face as if you're gonna tell me something. Because I recognize that scolding face. I'm just kidding. Now you're gonna tell me that you love me a lot. Yeah, you see, that's it. Oh, okay. Where is that? And Laura received baptism with the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God! And you practice it. Glory to God. And that's what faith is. And we're going to see it here. I'm going to take advantage of that example. Because in the past, people would tell me, "Oh, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And we clap and we say, "Oh, that's fine." But then they don't flow in it. For example, James 2. 2:18, for example, when people say, "Oh, I believe in God." James 2:17, starting there. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Verse 19, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Do you see? So just saying, "Oh, I believe in God," it's not the greatest thing for God. You see, demons believe in God and they tremble. Yeah. Erica, it will fit here. Up to here, right? Well, I'll tell you later what that is. It's a project of faith that we have. You see, you don't impress God with "Oh, if I believe in God," and that's fine. But demons believe and they tremble. So many people, that's all they have is just demon faith. But you're seeing it there. Wow, it's so strong. It's true. I'm just quoting what is being said here. Glory to God. Have patience with me. And he's supposedly teaching to help us. Okay, now, I'm speaking about the faith of God. Let's see something about faith again. The faith as a law, as spiritual law. Romans 3, verse 27. Faith as a spiritual law. It's Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded by what law? Of works? As we're speaking here of, notice about boasting there. Meaning that, oh, well, if I die, I'm going to heaven because I'm such a good person. That's boasting. That is excluded. So by what law? By the law of works? No. But by the law of faith. So the faith, the type of faith of God is a law. Amen. If then you want to obtain the benefits of a law, you have to know how they work or how they function. For example, traffic laws here in the state of Arizona. Something practical. When you change a lane, you have to give a directional. Let them know when you're changing lanes from one side to another. You have to let the other cars know the directional. Now you might say, oh, there's no car behind me. Doesn't matter. If you end at a stop sign, you stop. No, you don't do a rolling stop and say, oh, no one's coming, and go. No, you have to do a full stop. The Arizona law. Amen. When there's a red light, it's full stop. Yellow doesn't mean hit it. Amen. So, if you follow the laws, I've driven for many years here in the United States. I live in Arizona, but I don't know if it's the same. But I've done the same thing that the laws of Arizona tells me, and I've never had any issues. And I've driven through many states. Certain states have certain limits in their certain speed limits. But if you follow those laws, then you will never have an accident. You will never have issues with the law. Amen. Naturally speaking. Perhaps someone could violate the law and crashes into you or hits you. But in your case, do you understand what I'm saying? So, faith, the faith of God, the type of faith of God, not saying just, oh, I have faith. No, the faith of God needs to be understood. Another important thing of the law of faith. By what the Bible says, and I'll tell you why I say that. The law of faith is the most important that there is in the kingdom of God. It's not the only one, but it's the most important. Because there isn't a single verse in the Bible that says, for example, that we live by love. But we live by faith. But I said that faith then does not operate by itself. Because faith works by love. There isn't a single verse that says that we live by wisdom, although in Proverbs it says that wisdom is the principle above all. But there isn't a single verse. So faith also needs wisdom to operate correctly. And I'll explain that farther ahead. Let's stay with faith. Amen. So faith is a law. Means that if you follow that law, it'll function perfectly. And you will have the necessary results. Always. Oh, Brother Hugh, sometimes. No, always. It's a law. Now, go to Hebrews. Go to chapter 8, very quickly. going back to the ancient path of Hebrews 8. How many of you know that the author of Hebrews here was speaking of a better covenant and was speaking that those times were going to come? And also prophesying, speaking of the New Testament, but then referring to the prophecies that were given of this New Testament. So, in verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind," my laws, plural. So one of those laws is what? The law of what? A faith. But notice how I said right now. There isn't a single verse that says, for example, the 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Find a verse for me that says that we walk by love or by wisdom. Search for it. Is there one? No, there isn't. Am I saying that wisdom isn't important? No. Am I saying that love isn't important? No, in neither way. All the contrary. When I say all the contrary, meaning that they are important. But you have to know how to apply them in their correct order. But notice how it says laws. But the law of faith is the greatest of all. Of all of them. But that law then operates and needs the other laws. Notice. But Brother Hughes. But in First Corinthians 13 that says that love is the greatest above all of them. Yeah, it says that, but it's referring to something else. 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord that I came to church. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13. "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." So someone could say, "Oh, there it is, Brother Hughes, there it is." Yeah, but you have to see its context as to what it's referring to. Where was this said? In chapter what? 13. Well, before 13, what chapter is it? Well, 12, of course. And after 13, 14. Wow, what great revelation. No. I'm trying to make a point here. In chapter 12, Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and spoke that we are members of the body of Christ and the gifts of the ministry, of the ministry of helps. And then in 14, book of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And what he was teaching us here is that all of this operates by the motive of love. Which is why in 13, as if it was a sandwich, put the chapter that is known as the chapter of love. Are we following along? And I want it to be Thursday already. Glory to God. Now. No, because I want to have turkey with you guys. Amen? There you go. It's a good motive. You see, that's love right there. Now. This is what this was referring to. The motive of love, which is why he said here, verse 13, now you'll understand. And now abide faith, hope, love, and love. But it says here now, but the greatest of these is love. But this was referring that the greatest motive or motivator is love. The motive, the greatest motivator is love. But faith, I'm referring to faith, is the greatest activator of the power of God. So, in other words, faith brings manifestation of what the grace of God already paid for. Faith is what will bring the manifestation, the healing that your body needs, which is why it's so important to understand faith. Faith is what will bring manifestation, the finances that you need. Because we live in a financial world, you want it or not. In a world that is based on exchange, where you have to give something that they can give you something. You understand? Which is why it's so important to operate in this faith. And the grand majority of Christians around the whole world either do not know it or don't even want to understand it. And some, for 19 years and months, I've traveled to many different churches. And between those 19 and a half years, more than once, pastors have told me, oh man, speak to me. Pastor, speak to me about that, about faith, because we're very interested in learning about it. Well, you give us a message, kind of, you know, just where motivates us. You know, they wanted an almost evangelical preaching. It was difficult for me. But, you know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Because I'm a teacher of this, of faith. It was difficult. And sometimes I would teach on confession of the word. It was the nicest that they could accept. But this, people weren't interested in this. A pastor once told me, or a couple pastors, we're not interested in that, because if something happens, it's God. And if something doesn't happen, it's still God. It doesn't matter. That's what they think. Just telling you how they think. But I want to show you something in Romans. Romans 1, verse 17. We'll see it again, and then when we study this series again, you're going to be very joyful and understand it better. Romans 1. I want you to see verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, as to the whole world, referring to here. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Two notes, very important. First question would be in that last part of the verse. The just shall live by faith. First of all, what is being just, or who is just here? What is this referring to? Huh? Yeah, and why do they put it this way? As if you're doubting. Again, who is the just? Yes, the born again. But what is being just? Literally talking about justice here in your spirit. A just is one who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or the righteous. You are righteous. Then what is just righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness is a very simple definition, according to what the Bible says, is this. When you are ahead, in front of the presence of God, as if you've never sinned. Where? In your spirit. Someone could say, oh, Brother Hughes, that can't be. I sinned today, or I threw a curse word, I did this and that. Yeah, that's in your flesh. For being carnal. I'll explain that in a bit. But that's the definition of righteousness. That's what you are. Now, notice how here it says that you, as someone who is righteous or just, the Lord said that the just shall live by faith. So, how many Christians, the audacity of many Christians to say, oh, I don't believe that in faith. Well, I'm not interested in learning about that. I don't need it, is one person told me. What audacity they have. Says that the just shall live by faith. Now referring to this verse. The just shall live by faith. Now that you understood that you are the righteousness, the just. How much time do you live in a day? What a stupid question, right? But I'm making up a point here so you can think again. In one day. Oh, okay. Normally. How many hours does a day have? 24 hours. That's what they told me in school. So I believe them. And of those 24 hours, how many hours do you live in it? All of them, right? Some still doubt it. Some still doubt it. How many? You're counting it. You are bound by that religion. Oh, come on. You see, your lawyer is already here, backing you up. It's because they don't know if it's a catching question. Doesn't matter, you just let it go, answer right or wrong. It's not a question with a catch. I'm trying to make a point here. I'm making a point here. Don't think that it's just to catch you off guard. No, I'm trying to make a point here. One more time. Of the 24 hours, how many of them do you live? All of them. 24 hours, right? So, it says that the just shall live by faith. So, the majority of Christians, unfortunately, since they don't understand faith, they don't live by faith, they live by what they believe, think, speak, which is an important part of the law of faith, your tongue. The Bible says the death and life are in the power of the tongue. The consequences come, they give place to the devil. Life is a disaster and say, faith doesn't work. No, what it is that you don't understand how faith works. Because a law, in the natural, when in a country, talking about this country here, just giving an example. Of the three branches of government, oh Lord. There it goes. I feel like you're not going to understand it. Of the three branches of government, what is the one that makes those laws? Executive. Thank you. Some thinking, which one is it? I failed history. Which one? The executive. Legislative. But when a law is made, it is done by, it could be functioned. I'm speaking in the natural. And then once it is done, it is that law does not fail. Supposedly. Licensed to the some countries, you know, don't really care. But that's another point. And which one, Brother Hughes? Well, you find out for yourself. But supposedly, speaking as the people who invented these type of governments, that once those laws are executed, they will function, they will work. If you don't go against that law, if you don't violate the law, they will function perfectly, according to them. Now, supposedly that's how it is in the natural. Well, in the spiritual, that's how it is. Does not fail. If something fails, it's not by the creator of the law. In this case, we're speaking about God, the law, faith. Nor is the issue faith. Hey man, you're not going to like this one. So does that mean then? Are you insinuating that the issue is me? No, I'm not insinuating it. I'm affirming it. The issue is us, not God. Which is why it's so important to go back to that ancient path. And last time I spoke about this, the first five sessions, we saw a lot of Bible there in Jeremiah. Which is why faith is necessary to carry it with integrity, with repentance, with your way of thinking. Because your way of thinking has to do with if you're spiritual or carnal. And I'll explain something about it. Which is why to so many people, faith does not work for them. You want to know why? Not with the, we're there in Romans. Take advantage of this trip that we're taking. Chapter 8. Just reminding you what the Bible says, that with faith it is impossible to please God. So Romans. Go to Romans. Romans 8. Hey. Leave some of that turkey for me. I said chicken, right? No, I want turkey. Romans 8. Notice, again. Oh, this is so good. Now, brother, why hasn't faith worked for me after so many years? You want to know why? You won't get upset or mad? You won't get carnal? No? Are you sure? You promise. All right. Romans 8, verse 5. I'm going to read it from 5 to 8. Romans 8, 5 to 8. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Faith is spiritual, not carnal. Again, I want to help you. I don't want to condemn you, make you disappointed or something. But if you're of those who are quickly, by anything, you get worried, you are bothered, you are offended, you get angry, you are what we call a hothead. Like that. The hothead. Very common. A dynamite, what my sister said here. That's the reason why faith hasn't worked for you. Yeah, you all stayed very quiet. Quickly get mad. You're quickly discouraged. You quickly change what you're thinking by doubt. You promise that you won't get mad. So we were in Romans 8:7. So when are we going to walk by faith? Just when we come to church? 24 hours out of the day. So then, the audacity then to live by offense in the flesh, discouragement, worry. The Bible says in Hebrews, but go to Hebrews 11. We didn't go there, right? We did? We did go to Hebrews 11? But verse 6. You see? We did go to Hebrews 11, but not verse 6. But without faith, notice how it says, but without love. But without prayer, without wisdom. Now, what I just mentioned right now, those three things are very important. But then, why is faith so important? Because even when you receive wisdom from God, to seek the wisdom of God, you need faith. Because one of the ways of seeking the wisdom of God, wisdom, is how to apply the understanding that you have. That is wisdom. How to apply what you know of God and of the Bible. Wisdom has to do with the direction of the Lord. Here, do I go here? Do I go there? Which house do I buy? This one or this other one? Faith. Because one of the ways is speaking in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You need faith to believe that the Lord is speaking to you. Which is why I said wisdom is very important. But you need to add faith to it. Faith is the mother of those chicks. You understand? Write down that Greek word. Faith is the mother of those chicks. Faith is the coin, the key in the kingdom of God. Do you know that there are countries in Europe that although you go with a lot of US dollars, they won't accept those dollars. One way or another, you have to change to euros or pounds. And if you change if you charge with a credit card, it'll go out in your account in dollars, but they'll charge it in euros because that's the coin that they use in the European country. Regardless, if you take out a giant pack of $100 bills, you won't show off to them, especially in certain countries, Europe. You won't be showing off much with US dollars. You'll need euro. So here in the United States, here we live on this border where between pesos and dollars. But once you go farther up, well, go with pesos and forget about it. It's dollars here, what you're going to need. Well, when it's about God, the kingdom of God, of growing in that relationship with God, everything that has to do with God and the kingdom of God, you need faith. Even to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive it by faith. And when you start praying in tongues, you need to do it in faith because your mind is going to deceive you. And saying, what is all this nonsense? What does this mean? That's how your mind is. But the mind is carnal. But you need faith to flow in tongues. You need faith to walk in love. You see how important faith is? Are you seeing it now? Not saying it's the only spiritual force that there is. But it is the most important Because even with that being said, even the grace of God, which is a spiritual force. I know I said Hebrews, right? Go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Chapter 2. Glory to God. And we'll go to Hebrews right now. We like this subject, don't we? And remember that this faith is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. One of the things that I told you in our other session at the beginning is you need to use that faith. You learn to operate in it. Well, I have the faith of Jesus in me, glory to God, but what's so good in having it if you're constantly worried and discouraged and carnal and mad, offended? Because you don't use it. Well, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to use it for me. No, He doesn't need faith. You're the one that needs it. To help you. But you need to work. You need to make it work. Ephesians 2. Verse 8. And here, I'm going to make a quick declaration with. And this, you do need the Holy Spirit to help you understand this. We'll read it this way first. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you are saved, or healed, or blessed. How? By grace. But then it says, through faith. Meaning that grace won't have any effect in your life and in my life if we don't access it through faith. Which it's in vain, which is why people who say, oh, it's all by grace, they glow glory to God. Here I am by the grace of God. Oh, God will take care of me. I leave it all in the hands of God. It's all by the grace of God. No. Not how it works. I don't have to pray because I'm under grace. I can live in disobedience because I'm under grace. Grace covers me. No. On the contrary. It won't work. Because one of the things that faith does is obedience. Obedience. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Keep reading. And that, not of yourselves. Now last time I said, and that, what is this referring to? What is it referring to? Grace or faith? Faith. Now it's true. If you have our study guide, on School of Faith, I said that it's speaking of both, and there's no wrong in saying that because grace is also a gift. But in its context, in this context here, notice how it says, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Here it's specifically speaking of faith. Because it says it is a gift of God. Faith was given to you to be able to be manifested, to make manifest the gifts of grace. Because if it were all through grace only, apart from there's a verse that doesn't say that we live by grace. If it were all only by grace, everything's by grace, Brother Hughes, everything. You know what? There wouldn't be a single sick Christian. Because Christ not only died for our sins, He died also for our illnesses. There wouldn't be a single Christian in economical crisis. We would all be super rich. Because look, to understand this, Second Corinthians. Man, this is so good. It's a lot of Bible, brother. If a taco truck would give you a lot of taco. be very filled with tacos right now. So what was it? Oh, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where on that cross, he became poor. So we saw that Jesus wasn't any poor person. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. There's grace right there. If it were all by grace, then not a single Christian would be poor or would be in a financial crisis. Right there, example of grace. But faith then will manifest that grace in your financial areas and any other area. How? Your words and corresponding action. In this specific case, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that corresponding action, giving, sowing in the kingdom of God. So notice then, Ephesians 2. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now, I'm going to say this for those who are writing things down. Let's define grace in a new way. Grace is what God did through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can say what God did through Jesus. What God did through Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. One more time. Grace is what God did through our Lord Jesus Christ. Write that down. Here's another one. Grace is what God does because of our Lord Jesus. So what am I referring to with what he did, what he does? What he did is what Jesus paid for. Understand that. What he does, all manifestation of God in this time by a financial miracle, a healing, all that God manifests, all that you see God doing in your life, he does it due to what our Lord Jesus Christ did. So one more time. Can you repeat it? Grace is what God did through our Lord Jesus Christ, part of God. Grace is what God did through our Lord Jesus. And grace is what God does due to our Lord Jesus, or because of our Lord Jesus. That's grace. But faith is what you do responding to that grace. Faith is what you and I do to respond to that grace, which is why faith is so important. We'll study more on faith. Faith has to do with the heart as well, the motives of your heart. Why there are many things that you have to understand. Amen. If you're going to receive something from God, healing, work, or whatever you want to receive or have manifested of what grace already paid for. Words are so important, and you have to maintain yourself in that and not fluctuating in one another. You have to be honest. And words are very important. What did the Lord Jesus say? When you pray, believe that you receive it. What is your confession then? You speak healing and say, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing, glory to God, according to what the word says. If you believe that you receive it, then you maintain yourself in that. You go to the promises of God. I believe I receive my healing, according to Isaiah 53:5. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Therefore, I believe I receive my healing. Something that people still struggle with. Then your family comes, your friendships. How are you? Half of AP asks. Well, the doctor said this and the doctor said that. And that's all you speak. The doctor. If you want to operate in the law of faith, you're going to have to be very selective. And you're going to have to say, according to Isaiah 53:5, I believe I receive my healing. And you're going to maintain yourself in that. But Brother Hughes, they won't understand me. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand. You're going to have to be very selective. The reason why the grand majority of Christians get disappointed and say that faith doesn't work. Remember what I told you in this other series? I shared something. That a pastor told me that he had to return to the ancient path. But they interpret the ancient path is returning to tradition and religion. He said, that of faith didn't work for me. Good thing that he did for you, Brother Hughes. No, it's because he was teaching excesses that were not neither in faith or grace. Remember that I spoke about that in another series. If faith works and has worked, it's because you only know how to operate in it. Your confession is this: I believe I receive my healing. For example, if I say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know what you say? I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. If you're going through an illness, I believe I receive my healing. When the manifestation comes, you won't say, I believe that I receive my healing, or I believe that I'm healed. You'll say, I'm healed. But that's why you have to believe that you are healed. Because the manifestation isn't there yet. Now, don't answer this. But now can you see why many Christians do not receive what they believe? Because they say one thing and then say another. Brother Hughes, what if I'm not sure of something that I need? For example, a job or a house. Then you need wisdom. For example, this is a house. Say, oh, you go to the scripture. You start speaking one or two scriptures that speak of that. But then suddenly, you have the opportunity of two homes. You say, oh, Lord, two came up, glory to God. Now, which one? Well, now you seek the wisdom. But this is the promises of God. James 1. Oh man, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The test of your faith, it will produce patience or perseverance. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Even when you ask for wisdom, you need faith. Notice again, not doubting anything, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. But a man of woman is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded, two ways of thinking. Says one thing, then another. Confesses one thing, then confesses another. Amen. Are you understanding? You won't receive anything. Thank you, Lord. There are times where you try to please the whole world. You can't do that. It is you believing, you speaking, you receiving. I cannot exercise faith for someone else. I can unite my faith with someone. Which is why I've spoken so much of remove those cliches from your mouth. Vain phrases. If you come with me and say, oh, Brother Hughes, what are you believing God for? And I'll say, yes, the Bible says this. I'm going to say even where I'm focusing my faith on. Not just, oh, well, agree with me, brother, sister, or brother. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus. There's no faith there. It's just a cliche. Why do you think people don't tell me to agree with them in some things? Because I barely say that and say, can you believe with me? What? Where's your faith? Where's your faith based on? Where? What do you believe in? Where? They just expecting me to say a ridiculous face with their faith, phrase where there's no faith. Oh yes, in the name of Jesus. That's a cliche. There's no faith there. In the name of Jesus is when you exercise authority. Is when you exercise your faith, when you finalize a prayer. But just saying, if you come with me and say, oh, Brother Hughes, agree with me, and just, you know, just to please, oh, yes, amen, amen, sister, brother, oh, yeah, I'm agreeing with you in the name of Jesus. And that's it, you go very inspired. Oh, brother, oh, pastor is exercising faith in me. He said a cliche so he would leave me alone, just to make you feel nice. You understand? But faith, this. Where are you standing? In what promise? This is on the promise of God. And it will be shown. Brothers and sisters, we cannot bribe or cheat the word of God. One time there was a sister here. I was praying on a Sunday, praying for a couple or a person. And then I turned around and that sister was sitting down there in the front row where Jacob is. And I said, do you want to speak with me? Oh, yes. I want you to pray with me, agree with me. Oh, that's fine. So when I turned my sight, I quickly saw that she was writing down some quick verses. You think that's faith? No, it was just so that I wouldn't ask. If I were to ask, oh, she would have them ready. Oh, I my faith is on this. She doesn't even know what that is. I'm telling you this because I want to help you. Making ourselves look stupid won't help us. There's no words. There's no meditation in. Glory to God. Think about this. We just saw right now that the Lord said that the just shall live by faith. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. God demands that his children walk by faith. I said God demands to what turns to him. I'll explain. One thing is demanding and one thing is that he obligates two different things. But what's concerning to him, God demands. Actually, four times the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's something. One time in the Old Testament, thrice the New. And in one of them, where it says the just shall live by faith, And if you were to fall back, it will not please your soul. Oh, so God demands then that his children live by faith. Demands doesn't mean that God obligates you. But what concerns to God, he demands that you and I walk by faith. Faith, look, faith is not an option. Faith is not an option. Now, like, Lord, well, it's fine about faith, that about faith. It's fine that you leave it to your brother Hughes, but, you know, I don't want to live. You know, I want to live, let's see. I want to live by love. I want to live by grace. There's nothing in the Bible that speaks about that. That you live by grace. Better said, the Bible teaches us that faith is your part. You bring manifestation, the benefits of the grace. There's that big difference than living by grace. Grace is God's part. I just told you. Faith is your part. God will not do your part. It's the part you have to do. That's a covenant. In English, it takes two to tango. Faith is your part. Hallelujah. I said faith is your part. Like many Christians have a defeated, problem-filled life. Yeah, I've told you, we will have problems in life. But make sure that those problems are not caused by you. Because of your bad decisions or by speaking so much. But in general, believe me, if you understand this, those problems will fall greatly in your life by 90%. The other 10 are because caused by the devil or by people, which let themselves be used by the devil. So 80-90% of it, of those issues, will be reduced in your life. Very important. So, as we just saw, go to 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to close up now. This was so good, wasn't it? We have to go back to the path of faith. First two sessions are in our Bible study section, available audio form. 2 Corinthians 9. If you exercise faith in this little by little and use wisdom, you will not only get out of debt, you will enrich it. Rich merely means abundantly provided. There are different levels of richness. But in general, if you learn this principle, you'll be very rich. You exercise it correctly, with respect, with honor. You guard your mouth. You give place first to God. In this principle. Amen. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians 9, 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. So here, grace is not an obligation, it's a motive of love. So in verse 6, exercise faith. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice, as I say, he who sows, so does God sow? No, we do. We do. It's our responsibility. So not just money, but here with your mouth. Here, specifically talking about money. Everyone give as he purposes in his heart. That's faith, faith and love. Not out of obligation. because God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All grace here means all every ability. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God wants you to abound in every good work. But speaking about this subject, always, I know so many things, and then the devil has also taken care of with those YouTube videos, stuff of the sort, because there are people who have misused money. And I won't say a grand majority, but I'll be willing to say that isn't true. I know that many, but not everyone. Not everyone. But very interesting. Perhaps a family member of yours, but here in Douglas, when people have asked me, oh, that about money. Well, if money is so evil, why do you have so much evil? If money is so evil, why do you have to work 2-3 jobs? And why do you struggle so much to give? If money is evil, because if I have something evil and someone tells me, hey, give me that, oh, well, take care of it. If money is so evil, why are you so bound to work for it? The only reason is because they think that they are their own source. They think that by force, we remove your money here. Church, oh, there you go to a church and they take away your money. When was the last time that we put a gun to your head? What happens is giving is of your own free will. You can decide to be poor or give or not give or whatever. Amen. It'll be of your own free will. But if this works, it works. This is part of the law of faith. Faith works. Now, I know this is a time where some will stand up, but it's your heart. No one is obligating you to do so. Because no one is obligating any of you. Always put your heart right before the Lord, because it's not an obligation to. But for those who do give, this is for those who do give. I'll give you good news for those who give. You have the right to prosper the way of God. Giving is not an obligation, but God isn't also obligated to make you prosper to the way of God. You understand that? One more time. Giving is not an obligation, but God isn't obligated with you or His word to bless you. But if you exercise faith, now God is obligated with His word. One more time. God is obligated with His word. God has linked His soul with His word. We studied last time, Hebrews, when the Lord says, I could not account for someone else. He is obligated with His word. So He is now obligated with His word to manifest the benefits of the covenant. You understand? It's very easy when people tell you, the ignorant people, oh, there you go to church, removing your money. We'll tell those people, no one obligated me to. No one obligated you to be saved. Did someone obligate you to be saved? Did they put a gun to your head? No. But if you're saved, then you'll have to learn to operate. If you want to live well, now if you want to live like many other people of the world, many carnal Christians just right there, you know, waiting for the government to give them something. Well, you don't have to exercise faith. But if you want to live the way of the kingdom, then giving should be a joy. And then giving should be exercising faith. And you should honor that area of giving, not just standing up scared. There are people who do that. But if you check their lives, you'll see that there's always something. Your heart straight with the Lord. Amen. Understand that part? Giving is not an obligation, as praying isn't an obligation. As I told you, God demands that you walk by faith, but He will not obligate you. But that doesn't mean that walking by faith isn't an obligation. So if you don't want to, God will respect you, and you'll be at the mercy of the devil. But if you want to live in the way of God, then how many of you have traveled in an airplane? If you travel by plane, the airplane says the plane will depart at 9 in the morning. You won't be leaving 9 from your house. No. So if you want to travel by plane and you bought that ticket, you're going to have to be there, especially for us who live 2 hours from the airport to our closest airport. Then I have to leave at a certain hour from my home to arrive at the airport and have enough time, because, you know, sometimes, you know, lines, check-ins have long lines, and then my ticket tells me which terminal and which gate, if it is that I want to travel by a certain airlines. I normally travel on American Airlines, so I have to. I'm not gonna get off at Delta. I won't go through where Delta is at, or through Southwest terminals. I'm giving publicity to all these airlines, huh? No, if I want to travel by American, guess what? I have to go by what those American airline gates are at, find the terminal, and go through which gate I'm going to go through, and arrive at a certain hour if I want. No one obligated me to travel on plane. I could go by car. But if I chose, if you chose, then being born again and being righteous, you have to learn to live by faith. But if you don't want to, then God will respect you. But when you go through a disgrace, don't blame God. Same in the way of giving. Giving isn't an obligation. All those big mouths that have told you that you just come to church for them to steal your money. Don't criticize those who do give and do prosper and say, oh, surely they're doing something crooked. They're probably stealing the money. These people don't even pitch in, don't even throw, they don't do anything. Don't pay attention. They're all losers. You always stay in the lot, on God's side. Ready?
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.